You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Yesterday, the government announced a crackdown on synthetic drug suppliers. This comes in the context of almost 50 deaths from synthetic cannabinoids. The law change will see two kinds of synthetic drugs be classified now as A, giving police more power to tackle producers and suppliers. It will also see punitive action on users diverted, with rehabilitation and drug addiction programs a preferable solution to possession and use. However, this is subject to police discretion. I first spoke to Sean Robinson, Chief Executive of the New Zealand Mental Health Foundation, about their stance on the announcement and links between mental health, drug use and addiction.
Mental health problems and synthetic drug use and addiction issues, you know, are often very bundled up together for people and for communities, and fundamentally they need to be addressed as a health issue, not a criminal issue. It's not appropriate to be trying to punish people who are actually traumatised and unwell and really struggling with their mental health, and who might be using synthetic drugs as a way of dealing with those, you know, really difficult life situations. The best approach is what is now being encouraged, which is to get people who are using synthetic drugs, particularly who have a problem with that use, into some kind of treatment, rehabilitation, support, you know, from a health perspective. That should also include a holistic look at their mental health situation.
Okay, yeah, and I totally agree. I think punitive action on drug use just continues a cycle of poverty or a lot of things. With the emphasis on rehabilitation, and you mentioned there how a lot of drug use and addiction issues can be tied up with other mental health, wider social issues, how do you think rehabilitation or addiction services should be the only treatment here, or are there wider issues that need to be looked
at? Oh, there are definitely wider issues that need to be addressed, and you know, this change that the government has announced is a really encouraging sign, because it's one of the key recommendations within the Mental Health and Addictions Inquiry report that came out, you know, just within the last 2 weeks. And you know, that report and that inquiry really took a whole picture look at the issues. And so, yeah, we can't just even look at simply rehabilitation and treatment. We also have to be looking at, you know, what are the core driving issues behind people's trauma, behind people's distress, that often leads them to use, you know, drugs to try and sort of compensate or to try and deal with, you know, the hurt, the trauma, the really difficult thoughts and feelings that they're coping with on a day-to-day basis. So, you know, it's really clear that Māori are significantly more affected by mental health issues and by drug and addiction problems. And that's really no surprise, because, you know, effectively Māori society, Māori culture has been gutted in the last 200 years by colonisation. So, you know, that we have to address the poverty, the lack of power, the lack of support for, you know, a really strong sense of cultural identity, and being able to address things like drug and alcohol use and mental health problems from a Te Ao Māori perspective. You know, that is essential. But, you know, there are wider issues that affect Māori but also others. So abuse and neglect and child poverty, you know, impacts on children and young people, bullying, family violence. You know, all of these things, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to realise that, you know, they leave lasting traumatic effects on people's lives. You know, there's plenty of evidence to back up what, you know, we I think most people can intuitively see. And, you know, sadly, people turn to drug use as a way to kind of have some relief from the pain. It's a kind of self-medication. And if things like synthetic cannabis are readily available, then that's what people are going to use.
Mm.
So, you know, absolutely, we must support the individuals, and, you know, it is a huge step in the right direction. You know, the last thing people who are you know, trying to deal with a lifetime of trauma and pain need is to then be criminalised and, you know, imprisoned or fined or put through the court system because they're, you know, possessing and using drugs. You know, and we absolutely need to be giving them the individual support to deal with their drug use and any mental health problems that they have. But fundamentally, we also need to, as a society, be tackling those driving issues. The Mental Health and Addictions Inquiry report makes it really clear that, you know, that is core, and it's suggesting that government needs to have an organisation, you know, a function within government which is about coordinating well-being across all the different government agencies.
I then spoke to Ross Bell, Executive Director of the New Zealand Drug Foundation, about the changes on both the user side and the heightened criminalisation on the production side. I first asked what the Drug Foundation thinks about this approach.
Well, I think it makes a lot of sense, and I actually think most people and most listeners would agree that it makes a lot of sense that we've said for a long time, and the government is now kind of agreeing that, you know, fundamentally the drug problem is a health issue and should be treated as such. And so they're now finally putting concrete steps in place to actually treat drugs as a health issue. And I think the other thing that intuitively works is that, yeah, when it comes to these dangerous synthetic drugs, you do probably want to give police a little bit more power, you know, to be able to go after the people that are causing the harm, the people that are, you know, bringing these substances into the country. But that for people who are using these drugs, who seem to be really vulnerable, you know, homeless people, for example, you want to be providing them help, you know. Why would you want to give them a criminal conviction?
What are these synthetic drugs, and where have they come from, and why have they been introduced?
Oh, I mean, that's a really long story. It's fundamentally a lot of the synthetics that we're seeing today that have been on, similar synthetics that have been on the market the last few years, they all start their life as kind of research chemicals in the pharmaceutical industry. And then, you know, they're found to not have any sort of therapeutic effect. But then the chemists realise, well, hell, you know, let's sell them on the black market anyway.
Really?
And so the chemicals that we're seeing, that which seem to have got more and more dangerous over the last few years, they're called synthetic cannabinoids, not because they are like cannabis and have, you know, and give you the same kind of high as cannabis. It's just simply because they interact on the same receptors in the brain that cannabis, you know, does.
Right.
But they're nothing like cannabis. They're quite, these two that the government is making Class A are really potent, really dangerous. We've seen really bad toxicological effects in terms of people really damaging, you know, their organs and so on. Clearly we've seen death from these substances. So they're dangerous chemicals in the first place. But the way that they're also made, you know, sprayed onto plant material in really high concentrations, that's adding to the kind of problems that we've got here. And a lot of the chemicals are being cooked up in labs around the world, usually in Asia, and then slipped through the border in powder form and then diluted with a solvent and then sprayed on plant material and then sold for really cheap.
Should we be calling them synthetic cannabinoids? And I feel like that's quite misleading for someone who is a potential user and, yeah, doesn't know what they're taking. People who may have had access to cannabis beforehand and that's what they've been using. It seems a dangerous way of talking about it.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I accept that, but we're struggling to come up with another term. So the scientists would call them synthetic cannabinoid receptor agonists.
Right, yeah.
Because they agonise the cannabinoid receptors in the body.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think you're right. You know, the people of media call them synthetic cannabis. The original products that we had in New Zealand sort of 10 or 12 years ago were synthetic compounds that did mimic cannabis. They were very, very, very similar to cannabis. And every time that the government banned those ones, we seem to get these more and more dangerous ones. So, yeah, I think we have got this legacy where, you know, this perception was made that, you know, that let's call them synthetic cannabis because they're like cannabis. Well, that's definitely no longer the case. But we haven't come up with a sensible, you know, alternative name. And scientifically, it's right to call them cannabinoids because they, you know... Because of what they do. But, you know, for a tip for users, you know, if you're used to cannabis and you know what that smells like and looks like, when you get synthetic cannabis, you're going to know the difference. It's going to smell like nail polish remover. It's going to be really potent. And so if you know what cannabis smells like, you know what synthetic, you know, that synthetic is quite different. Problem is, if you've got someone who doesn't know what cannabis is like, and gets offered this stuff and they don't know the difference, then this is where we get novice users in real trouble. But I think what we're seeing today, though, the people that are using these drugs aren't accidentally buying them because they think it's like weed. The people who are using these drugs are living very vulnerable and marginalized lives. They use these drugs for the effect. They want these drugs for the effect because it puts them out of it for hours.
Yeah.
You know, they do go unconscious because that's what they want, because their lives are shitty. And so, you know, the good thing about the government's announcement yesterday is that they're going to put more money into things like homeless services to get people off the street into stable accommodation and wrap some other mental health and other social support around someone. So, yeah, the people now, you know, and the people that have been dying have been living very marginalised lives.
Yeah, I have definitely seen the effects of these synthetic cannabinoids on people, and it is troubling. It's people don't look healthy, and I do totally agree with the government's move on holistic social approach, because people need homes and people need their health. With the increase in the strictness on the dealing side and the production side, do you see a potential for any negative effects? Are we creating conditions for something else to be produced to fill the gap of these drugs that people may potentially now rely on? Yeah, how are we going to not have that happen?
Yeah, well, we're not. I mean, that is going to happen. And I think the government has woken up to the fact that, you know, that when you focus only on one chemical, then, you know, you're going to ignore the fact that all these other chemicals are coming along. And, you know, it's been described as whack-a-mole. You try to clamp down on one, but then five are going to come up in their place. And so the government, you know, really can't assume that by making these two chemicals Class A that the problem's going to disappear. We will all, I think the new reality is, not just for New Zealand, but all around the world, that new chemicals are going to be manufactured all the time, and we're never going to stop them coming into the country. So one thing the government did yesterday to try to, you know, mitigate that is they've created, or they're planning to create, a new category in our drug law where new substances can kind of be slotted, put in a sort of a quick and temporary way, simply to give the police sort of greater search and surveillance powers. That's what they really want. You know, the police haven't been saying, oh, we want tougher, you know, prison sentences here. The police simply just want more power, and that's what the government's decision does. You know, the announcement the government made is really good. We welcome it as a first step.
Okay.
You know, giving police greater discretion is good, but it's not great. You know, we would like our drug law actually to be scrapped completely and start again.
What would you like to see?
Well, we've been calling for two things. One is the decriminalisation of all drugs, which is what Portugal did, and replacing those criminal penalties with health and social services. So for some people, that might be a little bit of health promotion, a bit of harm reduction advice around how to stay safe. For people who have addictions, we want them to get help. And the second thing we want is a regulated market for cannabis. So with the referendum coming up, we're hoping everyone votes yes, that we pass some law where we can have legal sales for cannabis. And just to see, you know, cannabis being the first cab off the rank, to see whether a regulated market actually is a better way at reducing, you know, drug harm around cannabis. Arguably, this is not our position, but I think arguably you could then start looking at other lower risk or lower harm drugs like MDMA and seeing whether it's possible to take that out of the hands of the criminal black market and put that in the hands of the government.
Thank you so much for talking to me, Ross. Have you got anything else you would like to add?
Yeah, well, the other thing I'll add around the police discretion that they announced is that's great, but we all know that the problem with police discretion is that it's inequitably applied,
yeah.
So that Māori at the moment are missing out on discretion. They're more likely to be convicted. So we're going to have to keep a really close watch on this police discretion to make sure that it's applied evenly and that it's available all across the country.
95BFM Podcasts. 95BFM is supported by our listeners. Sign up for a Simplicity B-card at 95bfm.com/signup and support independent media from $4.20 a month.